Well, in this session, we're going to talk about delighting in God. So let me just pray and tell him that we like the idea of getting to delight in him. So, oh, our great Father, thank you that you are the God of all pleasures, and you are the source of genuine delight, and you are preparing eternal pleasures for us in your right hand. You are just the best God, and we want anything that we delight in to be traced back to you so that we can properly glorify you and worship you and just tell you again and again how we think you're the best. Lord, as we think about just enhancing that and ramping it up in this session, would you be glorified by that and get all the praise and the honor and the glory for it, because you're the one who is worthy. We just love you so much. Amen. All right, so let's think about good things, pleasure, and delight. Some time ago, a dear friend of mine, and I should probably mention that my dear friend is actually a composite of several dear friends. And sometime I am the dear friend that we're talking about here. So, but anyway, a dear friend of mine regularly struggled with wanting to find pleasure in things that would grieve God's heart. Things like drinking to excess, taking recreational drugs, illicit sexual encounters, reckless spending, etc. And as we discussed this, she indicated that from her viewpoint, if she lived to please the Lord, that would mean living like a monk and giving up pleasure. In her mind, that meant that all she would do outside of work was pray, read her Bible, and go to church. Week after week, she would try to grit her teeth and give up pleasure. But time after time, she tired of a lifestyle with no pleasure and went back to her old habits. For her, God and his ways didn't supply sufficient delight, so she needed to find pleasure elsewhere. But the Bible paints a very different picture of God and his ways. One of the places that we see this spelled out for us is in Psalm 16. I'd like us to read that passage asking ourselves, what do we learn about God and pleasure in this passage? Did I put it in your notes for you?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got Psalm 16. So let's go through this. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So let's ask some questions of this psalm to learn about God and his view of pleasure. First of all, what words do you see in this psalm that reflect pleasure? Okay, I heard good things, verse 2, safety and refuge, delight, yes, verse 3, pleasant places, verse 6, delightful inheritance, verse 6, portion in my cup. Eternal pleasures, verse 11. Rejoices, verse 9. Secure. Not be shaken. Rejoices, filled with joy. I think we might be able to learn something about pleasure from this psalm, right? Okay, we see pleasure reflected in the psalm. So I believe it's reasonable to conclude that this psalm can teach us something about pleasure. Okay, now, next question. What things do you see are being communicated about pleasure in this passage? The source is the Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Well, if there is no good thing apart from God, then that must mean there are only bad things apart from God. And most of us don't think bad things are pleasurable. So we learn something about pleasure, okay? If I'm going after pleasure, if there's no good thing apart from God, then if I want my pleasure to ramp up, what direction do I want to head? Toward God. Okay, what else do we learn about pleasure from this passage? It comes with boundary lines, okay? We see that in the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Is that what you're thinking? Mm-hmm. Boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. It does come with boundary lines. What else do we learn about pleasure?
I love that we walk with.
Yes. Yes. This pleasure includes people. Yeah. It's not just sitting alone with my social media, all isolated by myself. Pleasure includes other people. Yes? It's mine and it's not withheld. That's not in this passage, but no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blamed. No good thing. He's not withholding anything good. Yes, back row. Day and night. Okay. Yes, he is the giver of them all. He's the source of all pleasure. He is the source of all true delight. He gives good and pleasant things, and a growing relationship with him results in pleasure. The psalmist says his heart is glad, his tongue rejoices. God fills us with joy in his presence, not emptiness, not misery. He fills us with joy. And he is for pleasure. He has eternal pleasures planned for us. Well, if he's planning eternal pleasures, I think he's for pleasure. Okay? So clearly, this psalmist doesn't think that being godly means living without pleasure. For this psalmist, when his eyes are on the Lord, that makes his heart glad and he's happy. He has pleasure. And unless we really don't get it, he makes an even stronger statement in verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Every good pleasure that we have is from God, a good gift from him. Because my dear friend didn't understand delighting in God, and because of the enticement of the world, the flesh, and the devil, she looked for pleasure and delight in all the places she had sought delight before she came to know the Lord. She found herself in an unhappy situation. When she indulged in all the worldly pleasures she had participated in prior to salvation, she was left with a sense of guilt and dissatisfaction. But when she tried to eradicate those things from her life, she was left with a disquieting sense that she was missing something. And she was. My sweet friend was deceived. She thought trying to get pleasure apart from God was her good. She didn't understand what it means to delight in God. She saw her relationship with God as one of deprivation. Joe Rigney has written a delightful little book titled Strangely Bright. Can you love God and enjoy this world? I want to cover a number of points he makes. I think you'll probably like that book too. Let me just tell you that the print version has gone out of print, but you can still get an ebook version of it. And in fact, because I knew I was going to be teaching on this, it's one of the books that's on sale for $3.99 this week. So if you like what Joe Rigney's about to say and say, oh, I would like to read more of him, $3.99 ebook. Okay, then, delighting in God's good gifts. Joe Rigney seeks to help the reader understand that delighting in God and delighting in God's good gifts are not in opposition to each other. Let's think about that. Our delight is to be in God. Okay. Wait, you might say, I thought I would.